Glory to God. Excited to be in church tonight. Praise God. God's got good things for us. Amen. Tonight's message, I'm just going to give you a little intro to it. Tonight's message is, there's these scriptures that have been rolling around my spirit for some time. I've preached on them, and I just can't seem to get away from them. So some of them, the message that the message is based on, are going to be coming back up tonight. Praise the Lord. And the Lord showed me more that I believe he wants us to get out of it. But, there's just, like I said, it's been rolling around in my spirit. And so I really just feel like I need to preach on it again. Amen. And this isn't the same message by any means that I've preached before. But just some of the, a couple of the scriptures are just some that I've been into a lot recently, And, God will speak to you that way. He'll deal with you over and over and over again. Amen. And when he's doing that, that means there's more to get out of it. It means you haven't got everything out of it yet. And I'm just so thankful that I don't get it all just one shot. Amen. Praise the Lord. But that I get to marinate in it. Praise the Lord. And have have the word change me. Glory to God. But tonight's message is called Reindeer Games. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We're not going to play your reindeer games. Hallelujah. Now, the idea of the message, praise the Lord, is not doing things the way the world does them, and there's some of that basis in there, and that's really where the name came from. I couldn't think of a better name, and then all of a sudden I just heard that in my head, in my spirit, whatever you want, I don't know where it was, but it fit the message, so I ran with it. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so that's the direction we're going tonight, is we're going to be talking about Rudolph and all the other reindeer. Praise God. Amen. Not really, but glory to God. We're going to start over there in 2 Corinthians. We might as well just get into the word there. 2 Corinthians 6:17. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, my voice is much better. I'm pretty much 99% cleared up and cleared out. Glory to God. Cleared to go forward. Amen. Quick recovery. We thank the Lord for that. 2 Corinthians 6:17. Amen. And the word says, therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Hallelujah. And do not touch what is unclean, and then I will receive you. Now, I added the then in there, but that's implied. Then I will receive you. Hallelujah. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Now, what is this really talking about? It's talking about the church versus the world. Amen. Now, when we talk about coming out and from among them and being separate, of course, and Paul corrected this with the Corinthians. He said, I certainly didn't mean that you leave the world, that you stay away from the world. Amen. Because if you leave the world, you stay away from the world, how are they ever going to get saved? So we know that it doesn't just mean that. What it's talking about is in their customs and their ways of doing things, amen. And this is a problem that I see in Christianity. I don't know if it's always been there or if it's more so now or not. I just know that in our time, I see it very heavily, and that's that the world or the church is so often trying to act like the world. And this is where they go. This is where they always go wrong. This is where they miss it. This is where so often people don't understand why things happen, and it's because the lines have been so obscured because people are so used to it that this is just where they live. They live in this place of being separate from the Word, that the Word is foreign to them. And folks, these things ought not be. We need to be people that the Word is not foreign to us. Amen. That the ways of God are not foreign to us. That when a minister ministers the Word of God, that it's not something that we have to really think about in the sense of that we have to really chew on these things, just basic things, basic living in sin, basic ways of treating people, basic ways of doing things. It all matters. It all matters because we're the church. We're supposed to live higher. Amen. Now, if we want these things that we believe God for, then we have to remember that there's part of that. Part of that is in the receiving of God. In the reception of God. And what I mean by the reception of God is, I mean how he receives us. Remember, the reason that we were away from God is because of sin. Sin got us away from God, praise the Lord, and Jesus paid the price so we could get back into God. But how many know that living in sin will still take you back away from God? If it removed you once, it's going to remove you again. And so we need to be people that put a high price on living right. Amen? I said we got to put a high price on living right. Amen? Living wrong is not acceptable. Living out of the will of God, it's not acceptable. Living as a person opposite of what a person should be is not acceptable. Not a Christian, praise the Lord. It's not acceptable to Christians. Easily, you know, a lot of times the reason we struggle with things is because we haven't got to the place where we just say it's unacceptable. Amen? Praise the Lord. The Word just says it's wrong, so it's wrong. You just got to learn to be like that. You just got to be okay with that. Amen? That we don't try justifying why we can get into it or trying to find a way in. That's exactly what the Pharisees did. They justified their actions saying, well, we follow the law. We did these things and these things and these things. But there's other things, the weightier matters that they didn't follow. Amen? The heart issues. And that's what we're going to get into tonight is the heart issues. The heart issues of Christians. Praise the Lord. And I don't know all. I mean, I had kind of a direction that I felt this was go, and even right now I sense to talk about some other things too, so I'm just going to let it go where it goes. But praise the Lord, the heart issue of Christianity is what our motives are, why we do things. That's the utmost number one thing. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. There's people that do all kinds of things for all kinds of reasons, but Christians, we need to have our reasonings poor, our reasoning sure, amen? We need to know why we're doing what we're doing and doing them for the right reason. Things to be seen. Praise the Lord. If we're doing things to be seen, we're out of the will of God. We're doing it for the wrong reason. We're doing it for a worthless reason. We don't do things to be seen. We do things because we serve God. We do things because it's what God wants us to do. We do things to be a blessing to the local church. We do things to be a blessing to God. But if we do it for us, then that's all the glory you're ever going to get. Amen? And it won't last because it's not lasting. So we need to be people that have more substance to us than just the surface stuff. Amen? Praise the Lord. Why do we serve? Why do we do things in the church? Are we vacuuming the floors and saying, hey, people, look at me while I'm vacuuming, you know? Amen. Are we giving into the offering and saying, hey, look at how much I gave? You know, I'll just say this and say it again. I do my best to stay out of the offering as much as I can. What I mean by that is I do my best to not know who gives what. In fact, the only time that I ever know if somebody gives something is if there's an issue with something that I have to deal with and I have to know. Amen? So I do my best to stay out of that. I don't want to know what you give, so don't tell me. I don't care what you give. It doesn't matter to me. Because when you tell me, you could tell me I gave $100,000. Praise the Lord. I'd pat you on the back, right? But if you were tithing, if you were telling me you're tithing and you're giving $100,000, but your tithe was $200,000, that $100,000 don't mean nothing. It doesn't mean nothing. Why? Because you're still robbing God. You think you're doing good because you're putting in 100,000. See, that's the thing. People put so much, they exalt the wrong things. They put such a price tag. And now this didn't intend to talk about money at all, but this is just the heart of the issue. You know, there's that people think that, well, if I tithe big, then that's a lot. But there's no such thing as tithing big. There's tithing what you tithe. It doesn't matter if it's a lot or a little. It doesn't matter. What do I mean by that? Because God just looks at you being obedient. Amen. The same thing with your giving. If you give, you know, if you're a millionaire and you give $10, that's not much. You know, I recently saw when I was down in Memphis there, I saw a check that Elvis had written out to a church, you know, and it was $1,000. I'm sure the church was happy to get it. Praise the Lord. But you know, really, I mean, I don't know what he gave, and I'm not judging him specifically, but I'm just saying for Elvis, $1,000 wasn't a lot. So while somebody might receive it and say, wow, that's a lot, I'm excited, for a person who has that in abundance, it doesn't really matter. And so what am I talking about? I talk about money. No, it has nothing to do with money. It has everything to do about the heart. Amen? Why do we do what we do? Do we do it to be seen? Do we do it to say that, you know, pat me on how awesome I am? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You know, I used to be really, really involved in the art world, and I still am in a sense, just in a very, I create things, I like to make things, and sometimes I need a little outlet for that. And, you know, one of the ideas of the art world, of creating art, is generally for it to be seen, and so there is a little bit to that. But you know that in that world, it really promotes self-exaltation. you know, put it on display, show everybody, let everyone. One artist that I actually have a lot of respect for, and he's not necessarily a good artist, but I have a lot of respect for him because of the way he goes about it, is he's actually a graffiti artist, and they believe he's from the UK. I guess he is from the UK. Nobody really knows who the man is. And that's what I respect about him so much. He makes no money off, well, that we know of, praise the Lord, he makes no money off of his artwork. He puts it out there, but he's gotten more and more famous. And they have traveling art shows of his artwork, and they charge big money. My wife and I saw one up in Toronto. I was like, ooh, I want to go. I saw a big billboard. So she looked it up. It was like a couple hundred dollars or something, a ticket, praise the Lord, to go and just see this. Now, he's not making any money off of that. Nobody even knows who the... Well, we don't think, anyways. Who knows? But I appreciate that because there's a level of secrecy and you know, to put that down. But there's a lot of self-exaltation in that world. You know, I notice that in the music world, of course. You know that it's about me. You know, they like to promote themselves. But we need to not be people who do that. And the Bible tells us and gives us strict warnings against that. That if that's the reason, if that's the heart behind doing things, it's going to crumble. Amen. Praise the Lord. And, that's not the direction that I had planned on going, but that was good and free for us. Praise the Lord. Is that just getting set? Oh, the battery died. Okay, it's not ticking around. So we have no idea how long I've been preaching for. Got an idea. Yeah, praise the Lord. Glory to God. That just helps me keep track of you guys. Amen. Praise the Lord. Make sure that you're doing the right thing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yeah, it helps me keep me in check. Amen. And that's a good thing. Amen. Praise the Lord. Turn with me to Ephesians. So we see this. Now, come out from among them, be separate, be different than the way the world is. We want to look different than what they are. You know, and really, you know, there's all areas, all of us, you know, really what it comes down to is it's pride. And all of us deal with pride in some level. Pride is not something that, as long as we have flesh, it's something that we're going to deal with. But it's pride that says I can't be changed. It's worse pride that says I can't be changed. Amen? Amen. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Now, these are the scriptures here. And when I say that these have been rolling around in my spirit, I mean, it's been there for a while. I think it was a Tuesday night service when they first came to me. And I even mentioned it to y'all, but man, and there's others. There's actually several different places this goes. One of them I'm not preaching on tonight, praise the Lord, but I'm going to get into the other section of it that I've been wanting to, amen, that's really been stirring me. So Ephesians 4:29, praise the Lord. It says here, we're going to read 29 through Ephesians 5:1, praise God. It says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. That word corrupt is that's one of those words that grabs my attention whenever I see it. The word corrupt, you know, it means to be rotten, to be, to be decaying. Amen. It's corrupted. It's twisted. It's perverse. It's something that's not right. Amen. And so when we see that word, a lot of times we think, well, that's got to be something major, you know, that's got to be something, something. But see, it's not, the Bible tells us that it's the small, the little foxes that spoil the vine. In other words, it's the little things that go unchecked that get in there and wreak havoc. Now, there's a lot to say, and we speak a lot about the words that we speak. Amen. As Christians, we need to talk a certain way. We need to, you know, promote ourselves in a certain way. We need to, when we're speaking just in general, we'll have what we say. And so the level of things, you know, how we speak about things or how we say them, you know, speaking right. We talk about confessions and stuff like that. But it's really interesting here how it says this. It says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. In other words, there's a very important emphasis put on not letting any corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Amen? Praise the Lord. But what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers? And so even looking at this, only what is good. So anything that is not good for necessary edification or that imparts grace to the hearers could be considered corrupt. Isn't that interesting? Amen? Now, what's necessary edification? Edification is a building up. Amen? Now, sometimes, you know, there is a process of tearing down before you build up. You know, sometimes you have to remove some stuff that's bad. And so, you know, just because a preacher isn't saying everything that's happy to hear doesn't mean that it's not edifying. Amen? Because if it will stop sin, if it will help you overcome something, and if it'll get you back on the right track, then it still is edification. And so we have to be careful that it's not just always saying something nice, amen? But what builds up, amen? What makes better? And it goes even further. It says that it may impart grace to the hearers. Now, I'll look the word grace up, and it did not surprise me, but it's the same word that is used in Ephesians where it says, that for by grace you have been saved. I believe that's over in, Ephesians, praise the Lord, 2? Yeah, in Ephesians 2:8, if you just flip over a page or scroll backwards or however you do, it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that of yourselves it is a gift of God. Amen. And the translation, we've done this before. Of course, I've told you that grace, simply, you know, it's God's ability put in you, God's ability that you didn't have, amen, the ability to do what you couldn't do, but literally it means that which affords joy, hallelujah, that which produces joy in your life, amen, and so that it may impart this to the hearers, the same thing. So God is intending that we take a portion, that we take part of what he's imparted into us, this grace that has been saved, that has saved us, and that when we speak, that people receive that. That's what they get. That the way that we talk to them, the way that we are around them, the way that we open up to them, the way that we reach out to them, that we impart this grace, amen, this is what we are to be doing. But so often, brothers and sisters in the faith, and there's, you know, there's been different things going on. Even in this church, I've seen different things going on. And if you're into one of them, just let me let you know that I'm not just talking about you. I'm talking about there's many areas that this has happened. But where brothers and sisters in the faith, they start bickering and fighting and coming against each other. And brothers and sisters, these things can't be so. I'm not going to even say they ought not be so. I'm saying they can't be so. And if what happens if somebody insists on this path, what's going to happen is you're going to find destruction in your life, in your life, based on it. Praise the Lord. One of the things that I've noticed that being in a church family is a lot like being in a regular family, don't you know? That when you're in a regular family, that there are things that you don't always like about somebody else. Amen? You don't choose everybody that's in your family, and you don't choose everybody that comes through that door. But you have an obligation to love them. You have an obligation to impart grace into them. You have an obligation to edify them. I said you have an obligation. You say, well, what obligates me? The very fact that you received that grace when you said, yes, Jesus, I want your salvation. The very fact that you received that grace says that you have to impart that grace. And if you don't impart that grace, I would question whether or not you ever even received that grace. Praise the Lord. If you want more of God in your life, then you better start being more like God. Hallelujah. Christians that can't get over minuscule little things, oh, dear Jesus, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm just telling you the truth. It is a church that won't go far. A group of people that can't get beyond pettiness and little things that don't matter. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So it goes on to say, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Again, reflecting back to our salvation, he says, you've been sealed. But by not imparting, by letting these corrupt things come out of your mouth, by doing things that tear down instead of edifying, instead of building up, you grieve the Holy Spirit. Listen, when you're grieving the Holy Spirit, you're stepping out of the place where you can hear from the Holy Spirit. You're stepping out of the place where you can receive from the Holy Spirit. You're stepping out of all the power, all the ability that God has left us with. You remember Jesus said to tarry until, he told the disciples, tarry in Jerusalem until you receive power. Praise the Lord. And yet Christians, they, you know, they're like, well, you know, I don't like how they run nursery. I don't like how they, you know, I don't like how they do this or do that. I don't like how, you know, whatever. It doesn't matter. I don't like how they greet. Praise God. Hallelujah. We got to get over this stuff. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It goes on 31. It says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor is loud quarreling, and evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Yes. Praise the Lord. And now all of that, and then we get to verse 1 in chapter 5. Now remember, the scripture was not written in chapter and verse. And so this is just a continuation of the thing that we just read. It says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Amen. The children imitate the parents. Amen. So when your kids are doing something that you just abhor, the children imitate the parents. Now, I joke about that, but I'm also being serious about that. Praise the Lord. One of the things that I have had to deal with in my life, within myself so often, is when I see one of my children do something that I hate, and then the Lord reminds me, you do that same thing. That's why they do it. Praise the Lord. But we're not supposed to, we're supposed to imitate our Heavenly Father, amen? We're supposed to do what He did, amen? Notice again here, it says, you know, it tells us to, how to act towards people, how to be towards people. It tells us to be to do only, or to speak only what is edification. Now, why does it tell us to speak this way? Because when it tells us to speak this way, we know that our words produce, amen. The produce in our lives will be there will be a culmination of all the things you say, amen. And so the devil also knows this, in case you didn't know. And so why you say, when you say things that aren't godly things, you say things that are, then you're creating his world and trying to come against God's. You won't tear it down because you can't tear it down because God's kingdom will always rise above it. You just may not be part of it. Amen? And so, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. You know, the Christian world as a whole could really, really, really hear this. And I'm not just speaking from the place of saying in this church. We've had a lot of, you know, we have different presidents, different things out there that we either agree with or don't agree with. But, you know, one thing I've noticed over the years of watching Christians is that there's a lot of Christians that love to really bash ones that they don't agree with, or politicians that they don't agree with. And I get that sometimes because I've always been a person who's wanted to do that myself. But does that impart? Is that edifying? Does that impart grace to the hearer? Absolutely not. It's doing the exact same thing. In fact, the Bible speaks about this. It was talking about people in the last times that are unholy, and it says that they will speak bad against dignitaries. And that's like a sign of the end times, of people speaking bad. Now, why would God's people? See, and the reason that God's people speak bad about anything, really, I'll just give you the truth, and this goes for me too. And by the way, I got my correction in this message as I was preparing it. There's a lot of things that the Lord was dealing with me on. Amen. A lot of things that I've spoken against that I ought not to. But the reason people speak against things is because so often they don't really have any faith built in them in the first place. When there's no faith there, see, you're gonna go back. You're gonna draw back to earthly things. They'll become more important to you. When there's no faith there, you know, this person in office or that person in office, that's going to matter to you because that's tied to what you get or what you don't get, instead of, just following the Lord and believing everything from Him. it's the same thing when people they speak bad against their employers. You know, somebody who signs their paycheck, this has gotten commonplace, of course, in our country. But where people are speaking bad against their employers, the ones that sign their paycheck, saying why do they deserve? You know, and one of the things I've found as a pastor, but it's just true throughout life, is that it's real easy to look at anybody who has something you want and say, why do they deserve that? It's easy to say that from a place of ignorance. Yeah. Amen. And what I mean is that most of the time when people say that, they're saying it from a place of ignorance. Yeah. If you find yourself saying, why does so-and-so get this and I don't, that's a place of ignorance. Yeah. Why? Because if you follow God, he'll have you right where you're supposed to be. He'll have you right where you need to be, right where you're going to be blessed. You don't need anybody else. Praise God. Hallelujah. You don't need anybody else to be doing anything for you. What you need is God to be doing for you. That's why I never understood, the different things. And there used to be competition when we were being raised up. Remember, people would get they get jealous because I get you somewhere, or we'd be doing this. I get to go on a trip with Pastor Tim. Yeah, but people don't understand the price that I pay. You know, people think, oh, you get to travel. You know, you get to travel with your pastor. You get to go do what, go be in his presence, all this stuff. They think that that's just going to be easy. It's because they want that. They want the glory of that, what they think of the glory. You know, I remember it was like I was talking about driving across the country. People see the Instagram photos and they think, oh, how lucky is he? Praise the Lord. They don't realize that there was a price that was paid, and that was called 3,000 miles of riding in a car. Amen. You ride 3,000 miles in a car, you'll see some stuff to take pictures of too. Amen. It's just the way that it is. But riding in a car for 3,000 miles isn't always an easy thing to do. Glory to God. And so it doesn't matter what you do. People look at a businessman and they'll say, oh, I want what they have. I want all the things that they have. But they're the ones that are there at 6 o'clock in the morning. Praise the Lord. Am I Denny? Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. They're the ones that are there. Yeah. I mean, Denny told me what time he got up one time and I'm like, what? Glory to God. Hallelujah. But praise the Lord. That's why he's got a successful business. And like anybody else, you know, they look at my wife, they look at, teachers and they say, oh, teachers make, and teachers make decent money around here. Praise the Lord. They make a good life sustaining wage. But here's the thing. You didn't have to go to school for seven years. Yeah. You didn't choose to go get the master's degree and go through all those classes and spend all that time studying and have $40-some thousand in student loan debts and stuff like that. You know what I mean? My brother is a dentist, and I'm not promoting his business or anything like that, but I'll just tell you the truth. People do the same thing with that. They're like, well, why do doctors have such nice houses? Well, you carry that weight of all that they carry, and you go to school for all that time, and then you front all the money, and you do all those things. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I remember my brother was telling me, this was years ago, just one of his rooms was to outfit it, just one of his rooms to have someone clean your teeth was like 90 grand. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I didn't have to go out and spend 90 grand, so you better make some money coming back. And yes, they make more and above and all that stuff. But see, the idea, what I'm saying is that it doesn't impart grace. It doesn't help people. It doesn't build people up. It doesn't build anything up to look at everything and go, well, why is this and why is that and why is this? You just mind as the king once said, clean up your own backyard. Hallelujah. You clean up your own backyard and you'll be good. God will take care of you. Praise the Lord. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. He'll take care of you. He'll wash you. He'll make sure things are good for you. Amen. Praise the Lord. And see, this is what this is also why so many Christians, they go without what God has. It's because all they do is they sit around and they complain. They talk about this and they talk about that. Instead of sitting around imparting grace, instead of speaking things into existence, they're tearing everything apart because they're complaining about it all. Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The truth is the truth, and you can't get away from it. But as long as we look like the world, as long as we refuse to come out and be separate from them, it's really easy to do, and you basically just do this. You look at what the world does, do the opposite, you'll probably be good. You don't even need scripture to know that. I mean, you just do that, and you'll probably be okay as far as the earth is concerned. Amen. Amen. Because the things that the world does are backwards. They don't work. They don't, glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Turn with me to James. Praise God. Hallelujah. As you turn to James, turn to James 4:11. But I want to read this. No, maybe we'll go back there. No, maybe I'll go there right now. 1 Timothy. Just keep your place in James. We're going to go back there. 1 Timothy, it's not far away, 6. Verse number 3. Says, if anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth. That's where I want to stop it, basically. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Doesn't that speak about it? Look what happens. I mean, people, you know, if it says if anyone teaches otherwise, but we know this, that we, you know, we can be, that doesn't just mean somebody who's teaching, but somebody who's speaking, somebody who's speaking it out, somebody who is, you know, getting things, you know. If you suppose that you know more than the one that you're talking to, then you, and you wouldn't do that if you're not offering your opinion, by the way. But if you suppose you know more than the one you're talking to, then you are entering into the realm of teaching. Amen? Well, praise God. I said, if you suppose you know, and that's where the realm of opinions are. My opinion's this, my opinion's that. Your opinion doesn't matter. Why? Well, was it this week's Faith Fix or last week's Faith Fix or a Faith Fix? I wrote your, this one that just came out. I'll give you a little snippet. It came out today. Praise the Lord. If you haven't read it, I'll give you a snippet. And that's it. Keep your opinions for things that opinions are, you know, are supposed to be for. Painting your house. That's a good place to keep your opinion. And if you don't like the way your neighbor painted their house, keep your opinion to yourself. I say keep your opinion to your house, amen, the way you paint, and not not somebody else's. Well, praise God. I'm glad that blessed you. Could turn over to James 4:11. James 4:11. Look at this. Here's another warning. Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. Amen. Praise the Lord. Do not speak evil of one another. It's such a powerful verse, but it's in the next scriptures we're going to are real close by. So that's kind of why we stopped here and took a brief look. This is, again, it's something that's easy to do. We look to see what, you know, of course, speaking evil is not, you know, it's not the same as, you know, if two people were discussing the truth about something, but they weren't doing it from a place of gossip, but they were doing it from a place of instruction or something like this. I'm covering my own butt, really, is what I'm doing. But there is truth to that. That, like, you know, like on Sunday I shared with you about the, you know, something that was happening in the Methodist church, because it's newsworthy. It's something that's in the news. It's something that everybody is looking at and talking about. And so I addressed it from that standpoint. I'm not addressing it from the standpoint of trying to tear somebody down. But again, you know, it's it's for edification purposes. Amen. Praise God. So turn now, or you only have to turn, just look over at James 3:1. Praise God. Hallelujah. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. that's a scripture right there that I'll just tell you scares the hell out of me. Praise the Lord, to put it to you mildly. This is a heavy scripture. We'll receive people who teach, people who want to teach, or people who do teach, they will receive a stricter judgment. Why? Because you're going to be telling people a lot of different things. So God's going to hold you accountable to higher things. Amen? Well, praise God. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. Even so, that is a scripture, that is two words that should pop right off that page at us. Does me, even more so now because I highlighted it and circled it. Praise the Lord. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Now, I want to point this out to you. Notice that the two scriptures ahead of this, or just before this, it says, it gives us two examples of something that is controlled by something so small. Now, what do we know both about ships? Of course, even if we didn't know this, we know it just in the natural. But James here uses it as an illustration of what it does. These two little things, they control where we go and what we do. They will control where our lives end up, where our day sometimes will end up, where our week is going to end up, where our month is, all by what we say. That little member, that little thing, has so much power that it can take our lives in the direction that it desires to go. This is why Satan loves to get Christians to speak wrong. He loves to get Christians to tear apart another Christian. He loves to get Christians to fight and argue about things. Listen, there's nothing wrong with two people sitting down and discussing scripture, and maybe they have two different views on it, and to discuss it back and forth and try to come to some common ground, and every once in a while you're going to have that, and they're not going to come to any kind of ground at all. But you can do that. You can disagree without being disagreeable. Amen? And we need to, as I was reading this, and I was in this afternoon, and I wasn't really sure where this was going, but as I was in these scriptures, God was just dealing with my heart about personal things that in my own life, over and over and over, and it just kind of melted me. You know, it kind of softened me a lot, and I was sitting there, and I'm like, dear Lord, help me to watch what I say to people. Help me to watch how I am to people. Help me to stop being somebody, you know, and I'm not saying like, I think generally in, you know, as a pastor, I think that my heart is clear on things. I don't think I ever speak to people outside of how I should. In fact, though I've never been convicted, I mean, maybe, you know, a few times, but very rarely have been convicted by that. But I'm talking about my interactions with people. I'm talking about my interactions with people in my life, like my wife or my kids, or interactions with, just the person on the street, the teller at the supermarket, or the teller, the cashier at the supermarket. Tell her at the bank, whatever, you know, there's different times. We all know that there's different times. Have you ever had this thought, you're out in public? Well, they won't know I go to church anyways. I've had that thought, been out in public. Well, they don't know that I'm a pastor anyways. I'm up here in Toronto, I'm up here in Canada, or they don't know who I am anyways. The thoughts come to me. I'm not saying that I act on it, but I'm saying that the thought has come to me. You know, just because I had that thought doesn't mean that I was like thinking that thought on purpose, that I was devising evil. You know, the devil will give you thoughts to get you act in such a way. But see, the problem is, it's just like I decided, you know, when I was an usher, I remember struggling with some things, but when I was an usher, I decided at one point, I was like, you know, and I decided because the Lord led me this way. That was my calling at the time. That's where God had put me. That's where what God had called me to. And so because I was an usher, I said I was an usher wherever I went. And so therefore, if they needed me, if I was up visiting the church in Canada, or if I was out in California, or if I was in Brazil, wherever I was ready to be an usher. Why? Because that's what I was called to at the moment. Now, I was called to be a pastor, but I wasn't operating in that role. You know what I'm saying? I don't get too far off before I forget where I was going with this. But I wasn't operating in that role. I wasn't placed in that role. And so that wasn't what I was. Even though that the calling was there, that's not what I was. What I was called to do was serve and be in that capacity. Why do I say that? The reason I bring all this up is because you're a Christian, no matter if people know it or not. And it doesn't really matter whether or not they know who you are, or they know what church you go to. It should matter in your mind that, you know, what you do and say, and realizing that you will reflect, you know, that you reflect Christ everywhere you go. But, we have to make sure that we deal with those thoughts and deal with them correctly. And that we speak to all people because God correctly, because especially when we're out there where people don't know us, especially when we're out there where people won't forgive, you know what I mean? Especially when we're out there, they are the ones that need to see it. Amen? Praise the Lord. But if this isn't a habit of our lives, it's not something we're gonna do. So even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. Wow. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Now, see, if we start looking at people a little bit different, we start looking at people like that, we'll have different reaction towards them, won't we? When we start looking at people like, wait a minute, this person was made in the likeness and image of God. And I'm going to curse them. I'm going to try to tear them apart. What is he trying to point out here? He's trying to point out that as you're doing to the least of these, you've done unto me. Jesus said that, as you've done unto the least of these, you've done unto me. Well, praise God. So we're not even just talking about, you know, talking evil about dignitaries and your pastor or like leaders or anything. We're talking about talking evil about anybody. Praise God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and curse. Now, this is really important here. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. You only have one mouth, and there's a reason for that. Because you're going to choose. Remember the Bible says that choose today, praise the Lord. He says choose life or choose death. Glory to God. Blessing and cursing. Now, we know that God has given us the ability to bless through our mouths. But we also have the ability to curse through our mouths. Why? Because if you're given the ability to do one, then you have to be able to do the other. Otherwise, it's not an ability. Amen? It's not, we could parrot God and just be, he could have made us like that where we just repeat, repeat, repeat. But that's not what he wanted. He wanted to be able to, and aren't you glad though? Isn't it nice to be able to choose for ourselves what we want to do? Isn't it nice to be able to choose, to have the free will to choose this spouse or that spouse, or to choose, this house or that house? Or, you know, it's nice to be able to choose these things, but we like it when it's blessing us. We don't always like it when it's not. Amen. But going on here, praise the Lord. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter water from the same opening? Glory to God. Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, and grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh water. You know, so God has given you the ability to bless with your mouth. But if what's coming out of your mouth is cursing, you lose the ability to bless. If you're cursing out of your mouth, if you're not controlling your mouth, what's going to happen is you're going to lose your ability to bless. You're going to lose your ability to speak good things in your life. You're going to lose the ability to speak good things into other people's lives. What's going to happen is you're going to get bound. What's going to happen is when it's time to rebuke the devil, you're not going to be able to, because you've been siding with him. because you're not going to have that ability to come out of your mouth. You understand that all things emanate from a place of faith anyways. Faith is what we believe in our hearts to be true. And so if we're speaking this all the time, faith comes by hearing. We know that hearing comes by the word, but we also know that there's negative faith that comes by from not hearing the word. The Bible tells us that a bad character will corrupt good character. I forgot exactly how it says it, but you know, we understand that who we're around matters and all these things, amen? But if we're constantly spewing bad things, if we're constantly allowing this to come up, then we're also keeping that blessing from being able to come up, amen? And so we forego the blessing of God, we push off the things that God has for us, just because we needed to say what we wanted to say. Amen? This is not, honestly, you know, I made this statement many times. I said I had to go on Facebook because I couldn't be on Facebook and be a Christian too. And the reason was is because I'd see a lot of things that people were saying. And what I started finding myself doing is I was responding to the things that they were saying. Seems righteous, right? But it wasn't righteous. Because I wasn't imparting grace to the hearers. What I was doing is I was perpetuating arguments. I was lashing out at people. I was coming back at them. Listen, you can come at somebody with the truth and it can still be wrong. Why? Because it's not edifying. It's not imparting grace. It's not imparting that which it forged joy. It's not increasing a person. It's tearing them down. And by doing so, I side with the devil. And I found this and the Lord started dealing with it. So I started trying to change it. And then I found myself not being able to change it even, because I would see these things and they would stir me up so much. We were just recently talking to a sister and we were talking about, you know, watching the news a lot, watching all the things that are on the news. I tune into the news now, but I don't watch the news a lot. And I'll tell you why, because you watch all that stuff and get off on you. That way of thinking, that way of, yes, this is bad. This is terrible. We need to do something about this. We need to rise up. You know, I love this. I was recently when we were with Pastor Michael, and I brought this up to him because there was something I just kind of sensed was wrong about it. But I said to him, I was talking to him about certain protests and stuff like that. And I asked if he thought that was okay, you know, because I already had something in my spirit. I just wanted to see what this man of God that I trust, I wanted to see what he thought about it. And he said something very interesting to me. He said, how many protests did you see Jesus be a part of? It's like, oh, yeah, that's a good point. He wasn't part of any. So, all right. He said, how many protests did you see the apostles be part of? They weren't. What did they do? They imparted grace to the hearers. Praise God. They imparted the truth to the hearers. We have to understand this. You know, Christians are out there doing a lot of things, you know, and I'm saying each person has to be led by the Lord, and you don't want to be judgmental. But I'm just saying this, that you know, we can protest ourselves right out of a love walk. We can protest ourselves right into something. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. We can protest ourselves right out of something good, right into the plan of the enemy. Thinking that we're doing good. Speaking the truth. You know, praise God. Does it work towards salvation? You know, I think about this all the time. The people, you know, and again, you have to be led. You have to know what you're doing. But when our interactions with the world should matter to us. Because if we're not acting right in the world, that people aren't—they're not going to know the Lord. And conversely, we see this back in Ephesians that we grieve the Holy Spirit when we're not acting right. Now we know this, of course, with brethren. But if we don't act right towards brethren, we certainly are going to act right in the world. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to Romans 13:8. And this is where we're going to finish up. Probably if you've been a Christian for more than 15 minutes, you know this verse or you've heard some version of it. Yeah. Everybody loves to use this verse for the wrong reason. Let's look at it. It says, owe no one anything except to love one another. Now, this is the interesting thing about this verse. I have heard this verse used so many times as reasons why you should not get a loan. You should not take out a loan. Why? Because the Bible says, owe no man anything. Right? It says that. But that's not what this verse is talking about. The focus of this verse, and see, this is how people get stuff out of order. Listen, it is a godly principle to not owe people. Okay, that's godly. In fact, the Bible says that you shall be the lender and not the borrower. Amen? Praise the Lord. Yeah, it tells us not to be servant to the lender. Amen? We understand that. Glory to God. And so there's a principle that in wise financial, any wise financial consultant will tell you that it's just not good if you have to borrow money. But we live in a world where sometimes that is kind of a necessity. But the Bible is not telling us here, right here, it's not saying that you just can't. It says, oh no, in anything, don't be in a bondage to anyone for anything except to love one another. The key of this verse is that we need to make sure that we love one another. Amen? For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. Now, does your owing anything have anything to do with the law? No. But your love does. You fulfill the law by loving one another. And see, what I'm saying is, the reason why I bring this up is, and I'm not saying that you couldn't use this in that context. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is, that's not the focus of this verse. And those, even though those are godly principles, that's what people focus on, and they're missing the whole important part, the real important part of this verse, which says to love one another. What does love say? Well, praise God, if we get into 1 Corinthians 13 and start reading about love, we find, let's go over there. We got a little bit of time. Amen. Because I've been wanting to say this, and now it gets to come out. Amen. Start in verse 1. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 13, 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Now, some people try to use this as a way to say that, you know, see, tongues aren't important or whatever, but that's not what it says. It says if you do these things but you don't have love, it doesn't matter what you're doing. Right. Amen? And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. You know, no matter where we progress as Christians, no matter how strong of a church we are, no matter how many thus saith the Lord's we give, no matter how many times we speak out and what we spoke out actually happens, no matter how many things come up against us and we push them away, if we can't love one another, it's worthless. Praise the Lord. It's nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Man, I mean, when you think about somebody who's doing all this stuff, you think that's surely got to be somebody who loves. But the Bible tells us what love is. It tells us right here. It says, love suffers mankind. It takes its time. Love will deal with you. Even when you're snarky, love will deal with you and deal with you and deal with you. Praise the Lord. It'll be the truth. I'll tell you the truth. As a pastor, I've learned this wholeheartedly. There are things that I have to deal with over and over and over again that I hate, that I despise. But I deal with them because I love. I pastor because I love. I was thinking about this week. The Lord's dealing with me on my message. I'm probably going to preach for the next couple weeks. In this church. And you know what I'm doing? You know what I'm saying? I was driving home from Erie yesterday, and literally I'm like dictating this on my phone as I'm going, because the message is just pouring out of me. And I got to write it all down. And I'm saying to the Lord in my head as this is coming, it's like, I don't want to preach this stuff. I don't want to say anything about it. I don't want to talk about this. I've had enough of it. I'm done with it. Love suffers long and is kind. What does it mean? It means, well, if that's what he has me to preach this weekend, then that's what I'm going to preach. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Love does not envy. Why? There are things in the church that I'm just going to tell you as a pastor, there are things in the church that you come back up against and come back up against and you come back up against time and time again. And the whole time you're like sitting there, you are sick of hearing you say it. Yeah, amen. Praise the Lord. But it's just like parenting. Do you love your kids? You keep telling because it benefits them, even when they hate you, that you're saying it. Yeah. Say, stop touching the stove. Why? Because it burns you, and I don't like you getting burnt because I love you. And the child gets mad at you because you want to bind them. You want to keep them from doing something. But as a pastor or a parent, what do? You do the same thing all over again. Amen. Praise the Lord. Does not behave rudely. This is what love does. It doesn't behave rudely. So if you were rude, you're walking out of love. So what do you got to do? You got to fix it. Does not seek its own. Well, I gave you this, so you should do this for me. No. Is not provoked. It thinks no evil. Ah, man, that's heavy. It thinks no evil. Yeah, ouch, hallelujah, amen, that's right. Glory to God. This isn't just for you, it's for me too. Praise the Lord. Does not rejoice in iniquity. Rejoices in truth. It bears all things. It believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. Love never fails. Praise the Lord. And so we see that the whole context, and this is what exactly what God is getting us to, is that this is the first and foremost, this is the place where everything for a Christian needs to emanate from. If it doesn't come out of love, then it's worthless. If it doesn't start from love, if you're at the very root, if you don't come to church out of love, it's pointless. I mean, listen, we sometimes need to come in and change. But if you continue in that without love, like, listen, I can't understand, you know, on Sunday when I mentioned that town, and I didn't mention the town, but I mentioned that town and the idea of that person crying out for that, and it moved me to tears. And it didn't move me to tears because I'm just being some dramatic preacher. It moved me to tears because I love. And for to preach the word about changing people's lives and have people not care. I'm not saying that everybody you know is like that, but there's people out there that don't care. It doesn't matter what you preach. It doesn't matter what you say. They're all about them. It's not, you know what I mean? It's walking out of love. When God comes into your life, when God has really done something in your life, it'll change you. It'll change you for the better. It'll make you want to run harder. It'll make you want to run faster. I was repenting to the Lord this week about something where I just wasn't running as hard as I should have. As hard as I should have been going. I was maybe running hard at it once, you know, and then it wasn't. I backed off. And I was just repenting. Well, Lord, I'll do what's hard. I don't care. I'll do what's hard. Well, I consecrate myself. Amen? We got to do these things out of love. Whatever we do, let's do it from the place of love. Let's be motivated by love. Let's impart grace into this world. Because here's the truth of it. And this is what I want to get to, is the idea that everything that God puts us where he puts us to be a blessing. Praise the Lord. He was dealing with me on this in some specific areas this afternoon. But God puts us where he puts us to be a blessing. He puts us there to be stewards of an area, to change it. When God wants to see change, he visits it with one of his children. Think about that. And you are one of God's children. We need to think about how we move through life a lot differently. When we are in a place that's a hard place to be, well, God, if you've placed me here, you've placed me here to change it. You've placed me here to bless it. But see, this is the thing. We get so caught up in pettiness. We get so caught up in things that don't matter that instead of being a blessing place, we become a thorn in the side of people. I'm talking about a job. Maybe you have a job that you don't like. Be Christ in the job and watch it blossom and change. Well, I have a good friend who, praise the Lord, he went and started working for this business. And this business was doing okay, but it wasn't doing great. And he went in there. It was the fire of God. And just and everybody will point to that it has something to do with him being there, that this has all changed. The business has grown, has taken off. Why? Because somebody loves. Somebody's on fire. Somebody's taking Christ into that place, and they're realizing that they're put there to change it. Amen. And so if you've been brought into a place, you've been brought there to change. If you're in a job, you've been brought there to change. Now, praise the Lord. That doesn't mean that every decision we ever make is God. You understand that there is balance to it. And sometimes we're in a place that because we got ourselves into that mess. But you understand that if you're at a place and that's where God has you for now, you seek God and you have peace. I don't care if it's your house. Praise God. Hallelujah. I don't care if, wherever. It doesn't matter. God has put us there to change. I know he's brought us here to produce change in this town. And I demand it. I demand change in this town, in this area. Amen. Every place the foot of my feet shall trod will be blessed because I carry the blessing of the Lord with me. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I know it will be with you too. Amen.